Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A bombshell of a January 6th postgame show. How you doing, my little buddy?
Wow, Crudy, I am great. Good to be with you. Fancy Brian, Evan, our audience, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here. What a day. Are you kidding me? Trump tried to choke a dude out because he wouldn't take him to the riot? Do you think he wanted to go to the insurrection? I mean, this is amazing, amazing testimony. And honestly, Crudy, this is everything that, you know, I suspected already. We've talked about this. For 187 minutes, Trump didn't do squat. That's what we knew. What we now know, well, it's confirmed. He didn't want to do anything.
Well, he actually encouraged the hanging of Mike Pence.
He thinks Mike deserves it. And what those rioters are doing, well, they didn't do anything wrong. And just for a moment, Curtis, the 187 minutes, a 187, right? That's like California section for murder scene, right? 187. Doesn't it finally come around to make sense? It's a 187 on the Capitol Police. It's a 187 on democracy.
Dominic, I have a statement from the former on the Truth Social. I'm sure you already saw it on
account. Sorry, I've been swarmed with all my Truth Social postings. I must not have gotten to it.
Well, here's the former as he's truthing out on Truth Social today. I only know who this person is. Cassidy Hutchinson is, other than I heard very negative things about her, a total phony and a leaker. Well, the fact she's giving testimony, that makes her a leaker, right? And when she requested to go with certain others of the team to Florida after my having served a full term in office, I personally turned her request down. Why did she want to go with us if she felt we were so terrible? I understand that she's very upset and angry that I didn't want her to go or be a member of the team. She is bad news. Bad news. Exclamation point.
Ooh.
No all caps, though.
Why no? No all caps? No, no. Okay. So the former guy has now
punctuated with some White House wall ketchup.
He responded as he usually does, right? Name calling. Is he refuting any of the fact? Did you not, in fact, sir, throw your spaghetti? You know what I'm saying? Did you? At least he's here. She's Cassidy Hutchinson under subpoena, right? Under oath is something, Donald Trump, that you won't do. So I mean, there's just so many takeaways from this. And what about, okay, so the fact that we now know that there was, what, an attempted assault on a Secret Service officer, should not the Secret Service officers who were involved in this be called in? I believe there was, I think some of Clinton's old Secret Service people were called in. I mean, I don't think they're off the books, right? They can come in. They can testify.
How about Mark Meadows?
Yes, you know that'd be great to see him. Mark Meadows testify.
Hold him to contempt of Congress. He's refusing to testify. Obviously, he's guilty, man. The guy asked for a pardon.
I think they haven't done that because they're going after him for other issues, other bigger crimes.
Bigger crimes? You don't want Congress?
Gum up the works with a lesser crime when you're rolling out the RICO, man.
Now, this Cassidy Hutchinson also testified to the fact that both Mark Meadows, her former boss, and Rudy Giuliani, and what a pair they must make, you know, out partying, just having a couple of three-finger scotches, you know, dyeing their hair, whatever they do on a frisky Friday night.
Apparently, you plan an insurrection, a coup against the world's greatest republic.
And then you ask for a pardon.
Please? May I please? Cassidy, aren't you excited, Rudy said, right? We're going down to the Capitol. We're streaking to the Quad. The president's going to look so powerful. I mean, you know, you can just feel it. You can sense it. You can hear the words from Giuliani as he echoes his Messiah, the powerful. That's such a Trump word, powerful. I want to go down there, and I want to be powerful. And if I can't go down there and be powerful, then I'm going to freak out in the beast and assault one of my Secret Service workers.
Dominic,
strong, powerful.
A little reporting, you know, a re-connotation over at the Raw story. Former top Mark Meadows staffer Cassidy Hutchinson testified under oath on Thursday that he was worried that the January 6th would get really, really bad. It's going to be really bad. Hutchinson held the title of Special Assistant to the President for Legislative Affairs, Office of the Chief of Staff from January 6, 2021, and testified during Tuesday's last-minute hearing of the House Select Committee investigating the J6 attack. Under questioning by Vice Chair Liz Cheney, Hutchinson described walking Rudy Giuliani to his car. Well, that tells you there might be some credibility to the fact that, you know, she wasn't well-liked because she was tasked with walking Rudy out, right? This was on January 2nd, 2021. Here is what she said, reportedly. We were walking to his vehicles that evening. He looked at me and said something to the effect of, Cass, are you excited about the 6th? It's going to be a great day. I remember looking at him and saying, Rudy, could you explain what's happening on the 6th? And he responded something to the effect of, we're going to the Capitol. It's going to be great. The president's going to be there. He's going to look powerful. He's going to be with the members. He's going to be with the senators. Talk to the chief about it. Talk to the chief about it. He knows about it.
He knows about it.
Well, apparently so did Trump, right? If that's the plan.
Of course. Of course.
And did you go back up to the West Wing and tell Mr. Meadows about your conversation with Mr. Giuliani? Cheney asked. I did. After Mr. Giuliani had left the campus that evening, I went back up to our office and found Mr. Meadows in his office on the couch. He was scrolling through his phone. Now, she testified a few times. This seems to be a common feature of Mark Meadows, working hard by phone scrolling.
Yeah, so much tweeting, so little time.
I remember leaning against the doorway and saying, I just had an interesting conversation with Rudy, Mark. It sounds like we're going to the Capitol. He didn't look up from his phone and said something to the effect of, there's a lot going on, Cass, but I don't know. Things might get real, real bad on January 6th. So bad.
Things may get real, real bad.
844-967-2789. I am dying to hear from Lou. Lou, the conservative from Cudahy, I got to hear from you, big guy. Lou, you watching the J6 hearings?
Hey, Lou.
No. It's good to be with you. No, I'm not watching them. Neither is America. That's a year and a half ago. It's gone by. It's gone by the way.
You're wrong, dude. Benghazi got 3 million viewers. This got 20 million on the first night. And I personally look at the analytics of our listenership. People are highly engaged in these moments, Lou.
Tell me how many days you guys have been talking about this?
Every day. This is the 6th hearing, right. I believe.
Yeah, it's not very often, Lou, that we get to experience the violent transfer of power in this country, don't you think?
and you know what else?
Yeah. You think that's funny, Lou? Are you amused, Lou? That's what I want to know. Are you amused? Do you think it's funny? Do you think that Donald Trump did nothing for 187 minutes, Lou? You think that's funny?
And you're frightened.
Frightened of guys like you that want to overthrow the government. Guys like you that might go down to the Capitol and walk around with AR-15s, Lou. Yes, I'm angry. You should be angry too, Lou.
Here's what's important. People don't care about January 6th. That's a year and a half ago.
Yeah, you said that. You got anything else to say, Lou?
Mr. Joe Biden, number one, can we afford groceries or do I have to put money in the gas for the car? That's the kind of predicament Mr. Biden has put us in.
We'll talk about inflation tomorrow, Lou. Today is about your president, Donald Trump, choking out a Secret Service agent. Take me to the Capitol! Happening.
It's also about the Secret Service warning Chief of Staff Mark Meadows that the crowd is armed with AR-15s and Glocks. Yes, they were armed. Yes, take the mags away. Take away the detection of the weapons, Lou. This was a plan. This was your guy. This was a plan. This was an insurrection. It was a coup. You now have more testimony, but you won't watch it because, you know, it's just so long ago. It was, you know, so long ago. Who can possibly have the bandwidth to absorb and appreciate, you know, an attempted insurrection on the country, Lou?
You know, strangely, Brett Baer over at Fox News. He has called the testimony today so compelling and stunning.
It was.
You know, and I shook a fist at Fox News for not showing this testimony live. Well, they're carrying it live now, Lou. Just turn on the Foxy News. Fox News anchor Brett Baer reacted to the testimony of former aide to Mark Meadows by calling it both stunning and compelling. I felt so as well. I've been listening all day. During a break from the J6 committee hearing with Cassidy Hutchinson, Baer said that he was moved by the former staffer's firsthand account of former President Donald Trump's actions on January 6th. Inside the beast, the limo, saying he wanted to go up to Capitol Hill, the anchor said of Trump. And they said, you have to go back to the White House. And according to her testimony, he says, I'm the effing president. Take me there. And then goes to grab at him. Listen, this testimony is first of all stunning. That's what they're saying on Fox News, Lou. Stunning. Because we haven't heard this. Too, it's compelling because of her proximity to power. All of these people directly having conversations with her. Baer noted that Trump wanted the crowd to be much bigger, more robust, and that he didn't care about weapons in the audience. Listen, all of this is firsthand, Brett Baer pointed out. So it's from her listening to it. That's why it's so compelling. So compelling.
It's so bad. It was a year and a half ago, Crudy. Why do you got to keep living in the past?
How long did it take them to fully investigate and vet out Benghazi? Or even Hillary's emails? Or Hunter Biden's laptop? They've been talking about that for 18 months, right?
Right. Longer than that.
When there is a coup against the U.S. government, when the president wants the vice president hung, you know, that's still breaking news. That's new news to me. When you find out the president tried to choke off a Secret Service agent, when you find out the president knew they came armed with AR-15s to the rally, and his response, let's stop taking the weapons away. They're going to need the weapons once we all go up to the Capitol, which was the president's intent because he wanted a successful coup. And that would have made it successful. Come back. This show is always successful, with or without Jalou. More Devils.
Strong, powerful.
The only reason you get pardoned is you committed a crime.
Very powerful.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're going to go to the phones, get your reaction. The stunning January 6th committee hearing today, Cassidy Hutchinson testifying.
Nobody's watching. Nobody's listening.
To all sorts
gas
of
prices,
wrongdoings.
Benghazi.
By the emails. Former administration. Oh, I'm kind of fired up. Sorry, I just can't let Lou go on like that, man. I know it's not great radio to talk over people, but guys like that want to try to talk you down, and you can't just let them do it. So for the audience, I finally relented, let him say his stupid piece, and then we got rid of him. And not that we don't appreciate people's perspectives, but Lou, if you're not going to watch, if you're not up, if you're not dialed into the topic, you know, maybe you should sit this one out. 844-967-2789. Our audience,
I'm sure they're completely avoiding the topic on Ready Whitey Talk Radio. Try over there, Lou. Yeah.
Jeannie from Eau Claire, you are up. Welcome, Jeannie. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Jeannie.
Hi, guys. Well, this is the crime of the century, I'm sure.
Yes.
Committed by people that are close to him or people he admires. I'm sure he doesn't want to face the reality. This is like one of the major crimes of the century involving fraud, abuse of power, fraudulent electors, different states trying to pull off a theft of votes. I mean, come on. This thing is huge.
Well, and Jeannie,
it's not going to be solved overnight.
People ended up dead. And when people showed up armed to the ellipse for the speech, and Trump knew that they were showing up with everything from brass knuckles to spears, right? And those were the ones willing to brave the metal detectors, or, you know, entirely intelligent enough to think they'd sneak through somehow.
I'll just go through really fast.
But, I mean, Trump wanted them armed. He wanted this armed insurrection. This was the mob lever behind his coup attempt. And, of course, we hear the testimony. And, I mean, when you hear that the president of the United States effectively wanted his vice president hung, I mean, short of getting the gallows and hanging him himself, that's about as damning as I've ever heard about anybody.
And, you know, it's people like him that, you know, are probably going to be watching as the fascist party continues to try to assault our democracy. So I don't know what's going on with him, and I don't know what hole he's got his head in, but I sure hope he wakes up for, you know, for a country's sake. So anyway, hey, thanks, guys, for covering this. Great job.
You're quite welcome, Jeannie.
Thank you, Jeannie.
It's really a credit to the guys, because the guys have been scrambling. Every time they drop a surprise J6 hearing, right, the guys suddenly realize their entire days have been, you know, changed. Perhaps for the better in this case. 844-967. I believe this is the last hearing for the month of June for the second quarter, but they're going to roll quarters down, and they're going to roll into more hearings, my understanding. We're going to take more callers at 844-967-2789. Our pal Curtis from West Allis. Curtis, you've been watching the hearings, or at least listening on the radio, right?
Hey, Curtis.
I want to say thank you very much for playing it on the radio, because it gives us a chance that work all day that we can listen to it, you know, if you're not home on TV. But as far as the gentleman from Cudahy-Hay over there, no, he's messed up. It's really sad that he didn't listen to your wonderful radio station when you broadcast the whole thing, because if he would have been said to himself, this is the worst thing that ever came out of the United States of America. And if we don't do anything as American citizens, or if the justice system in America, we will be the laughingstock of the world, because we are not the free and the brave country anymore, because, as you know, they're taking away all the rights, you know, the liberties from the Supreme Court. But it's really sad, you know. You can't make this up anymore. So I just can't believe that Trump and, I mean, you can think, look what happened with Wisconsin. Look what Scott Walker did in Wisconsin. When before he left our state, he tied Tony Lieber's hands behind his back so he can't do anything. And then he blames everything on him. It's like he's not doing anything. You know,
Curtis, I'll be very interested to find out how the Wisconsin Supreme Court rules on the small fascism that is Preen, the cranberry farmer that refuses to vacate the DNR board. And he apparently was in conspiracy with Scott Walker. I'm not clear that that's a crime in and of itself, although it should be. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court is supposed to drop a ruling tomorrow on whether or not Preen can keep the seat. And I suspect they'll say by a 4-3, yes, he can.
Well, yeah, because Wisconsin Supreme Court's all conservative, just like the United States Supreme Court. It's just,
well,
really
sadly,
like,
in this case, above and beyond that, Curtis, there is some precedent that people can keep their appointments until the Senate confirms the new appointee. Well, under the circumstance that the Republicans are also in cahoots and they're blocking the Tony Evers appointments, meaning they will fail to confirm anyone Tony appoints, well, the small fascisms will become bigger fascisms. And, you know, it just marches on, Curtis. On to the Capitol.
Yeah,
don't make me choke you out, man.
All I can say is go vote in November, man. I hope this wakes up the whole country.
Nobody's watching, Curtis. Nobody's listening.
Wow. Thanks for the call, Curtis. Always appreciate it. 844-967-2789. We will take some more of your reaction after the bottom of the hour break. Is there enough for Garland yet? I mean, what else are we going to do? What else do you need? You know, is Pat Cipollone, is he rushing down to give his testimony now? Like he was rushing in the White House to say, oh my God, WTF is going on? Mark Meadows just casually zipping through his Pornhub thinking, well, you know, the president doesn't want to do anything about it. So I guess here we are.
Wonder what kind of royalties he made on the book. The Chief's Chief. I bet he lives to regret that book in some way, shape, or form. Him and probably Peter Navarro.
I hope they all live to regret it. Man, are you kidding me? I mean, would you imagine if this was Barack Obama and Black Lives Matter? Everyone would have been shot dead. This is absolutely ridiculous. It's embarrassing, of course, but it is also the first time we've had a violent transfer of power, an insurrection, a coup plotted by the president and his lackeys, people. That's the problem. We need to make sure there is retribution for that, there is justice, and that it does not happen again.
You don't think Obama would have been cheering hang Joe Biden?
No, man.
I heard Joe got in the
way. It's
a
big effing deal, Crudy.
Come back. More Devils. It's a BFD.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
Strong, powerful.
I got a joint here, man. I've been saving for a special occasion.
Very powerful.
Because we're very high.
I remember when I lost my mind.
Think you know politics?
There was something
again.
So pleasant about that.
Welcome
day.
To the Devil's Advocates.
Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
Radio show, the J6 Tuesday Bombshell Edition post-game show. We got Dominic, we got Vance Bryan, we got Evan Lightly screening your calls at 844-967-2789. Dom, I want you to think about something. Just consider something for a moment.
What's that?
This newest testimony, right? Donald Trump intended to go to the U.S. Capitol. Not sort of broadly, you know, let's all march there and I'm going back for a Big Mac. No, he desperately wanted to go to the U.S. Capitol, right? Ready to choke out a Secret Service agent for the right to get there the whole time. And we've also found out about the plot perpetrated by U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. His plot was to, what, deliver the false Trump electors directly into the hand of Mike Pence. But have we ever considered prior that Ron Johnson would have known well that Donald Trump's intent was to show up at the U.S. Capitol? So effectively, Ron wanted to, what, provide the means of the coup in real time before Trump got there. Consider that when you listen to a little of the editorial from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. Ron Johnson's denials about Donald Trump's fake elector plot don't add up.
No.
A little bit here. First, Ron Johnson denied he knew about an offer from his top aide to deliver phony electoral votes for Donald Trump. Denied he had anything to do with it. The next day, he said Trump's lawyer in Wisconsin asked him to deliver a document regarding Wisconsin's electors to Vice President Mike Pence, but said he didn't know what that meant. The more we learn about the role the Wisconsin senior senator played in the days leading up to the insurrection of January 6, the more things don't add up. And the more it looks like Johnson or his team may have aided Trump's administration's conspiracy to overturn the lawful election of Joe Biden. A top Pence aide said he had no reason to believe Johnson was involved directly in an attempt to pass fake electors to Pence. But the Justice Department should launch an investigation into the phony elector scheme, including what Johnson and his staff knew and what they did in the lead up to the January 6th joint session of Congress. The latest revelations are stunning. Just minutes before Congress was to meet to certify Joe Biden's win over Donald Trump, Johnson's top aide, Sean Riley, texted a staffer for then VP Mike Pence. Johnson needs to hand something to Vice POTUS. Please advise. This happened just before Pence prepared to preside over the official certification of the Biden victory. And new news today, we find out, and Donald Trump planned to be there to personally pressure his vice president, right?
Yes.
Choke out a Secret Service agent if he must. It was 12:37 p.m. and the joint session of Congress was scheduled to begin at 1. What could be so urgent at that late hour? An alternative slate of electors for Michigan and Wisconsin, Riley replied. The fake electors were part of a plan to give Pence cover to not certify Biden's election by either illegally accepting the fake votes ginned up by Trump or by claiming the election results were so murky they had to be sent back to the states to decide. And Trump's team hoped that once the matter was returned to Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, and other key battleground states won by Biden, Trump could pressure Republican-controlled state legislators to overturn the citizens' decision and select false Trump electors from his own party. The hearings of the bipartisan congressional committee looking into the attack on the Capitol that afternoon have brought this Trump conspiracy into the open for all to see, Dominic.
Curti, the alternate elector slates were part of a scheme advanced by Trump and his personal attorneys, you know these guys, Eastman and Giuliani, to steal the presidency on the false claim with no evidence to support it that the election was fraudulent. In reality, we know Trump lost the 2020 election by more than 7 million votes and won the Electoral College 306 to 232. Trump lost recounts in Wisconsin and dozens of lawsuits around the country challenging the results. Chris Hodgson, Pence's legislative liaison, texts back to Riley, "Do not give that to him." Pence did his duty that day, refusing to intervene and insisting that congressional certification take place just hours after a violent mob of insurrectionists egged on by Trump stormed the Capitol. With some of them vowing to hang the vice president, they came within 40 feet of Pence at one point, the hearings reveal. It was one of the saddest chapters ever for American democracy. After the texts were revealed, Johnson claimed to have no knowledge of his chief of staff's request that he hand deliver fake electors from Wisconsin and Michigan to Pence. He called it a non-story and said he was...
Like seven times he called it a non-story, Dom.
He was basically unaware of the effort.
You know, I was not involved in this at all.
I was basically unaware. Then he changed his story. By Thursday of last week, Johnson was saying he had coordinated with a Wisconsin attorney to pass along information and that the documents came from Republican U.S. Rep. Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania, which Kelly's office said was patently false. Here's what we know. Again, this is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial regarding Ron Johnson. Here's what we know. After the election, even after it was clear Trump had lost, Johnson fanned the flames of the election deniers. Johnson acknowledged that Biden had won, but then chaired a bitterly divided hearing while he was still a Senate committee chairman in December 2020, allowing witnesses to spew unsubstantiated claims of fraud and irregularities that had already been knocked down repeatedly in the courts. Just 2 days before the January 6th debacle, Johnson and other GOP senators heard from MyPillow Chief Executive Mike Lindell, a leading proponent of false election conspiracies, who urged Trump to use every tool at his disposal to retain power.
Well, apparently Johnson was one of those tools, though.
He is a tool. In the lead-up to the certification vote, Johnson signed onto a plan with other GOP senators to object to the Electoral College results. As the electoral count started on January 6th, Johnson formally objected to electors from Arizona, with another state where Republicans controlled the legislature and Biden's margin of victory was slender. A short time later, a violent mob stirred up by Trump and led by white supremacist groups attacked the nation's capital with the goal of stopping the electoral vote certification. At first, it appeared to work. Proceedings were halted as members of Congress and Pence were whisked to safety. After the National Guard and police officers regained control of the Capitol from the insurrectionists, Johnson, perhaps momentarily sobered by the violence that had just occurred, changed his plans and voted to recognize the legitimate electors chosen by the people of Arizona. Ever since, Johnson has downplayed what happened on a day when several people died, many more were injured, including 140 police officers, and our democracy suffered a gut punch with ramifications we're only now beginning to understand. Johnson has said the violence at the Capitol didn't seem like an insurrection to me. Tell that to Capitol Police Officer Caroline Edwards, who described in a committee hearing how she suffered a concussion while trying to hold the rioters back. Her quote, "I was slipping in people's blood. I was catching people as they fell. It was carnage." She recalled seeing Officer Brian Sicknick, who died the next day, turn ghostly white after being sprayed with chemicals. She and others described the scene as a battlefield, which was apparent to anyone watching the scene on live television.
Crudy, the mood of the crowd was positive and festive.
And we saw it real time, as everybody did. Johnson also claimed that the Trump supporters who rioted and ransacked the building didn't worry him because, quote, "those were people who love this country that truly respect law enforcement." He might have been concerned, he added, if the rioters had been supporters of the Black Lives Matter movement. That's textbook racism. Our senators represent all Wisconsin citizens, not just white Trump supporters. Whether it be promoting disproven treatments for COVID-19, visiting Moscow on the 4th of July, or blaming global warming on sunspots, Johnson's judgment has been suspect for years. Despite Johnson's attempt to deflect attention, what happened on January 6, 2021 was a very big deal, a day when our 246-year experiment in citizen government was put at risk by the narcissistic, power-hungry egotist in the White House. Johnson has proven by his past actions that he isn't fit to be a U.S. senator. This latest episode only makes that more clear. The citizens of Wisconsin, regardless of party, should vote him out of office this November. Federal law enforcement officers who are assigned to defend the Constitution should get to the bottom of the effort to unlawfully create phony electors in Wisconsin and other battleground states. And they need to look into whether Johnson played any role to overrule the citizens' votes and overturn the last presidential election. USA Today Network, Wisconsin Editorial Board.
I suspect Johnson did. He's guilty, Dom. If he was less guilty, if he had a more plausible alibi or defense to this,
we'd have heard it.
The center of break. But when it's changing every day and it really doesn't hold water on any of the given days, right?
No, not a bit. And you know when he stammers and stutters and concludes every sentence with there's no, it's a non-story, it's a non-story, it's a non-story. It's like, are you trying to convince
yourself, or are you trying to convince us?
It sounds like you're in a corner crying about what your actions were, knowing that justice will prevail, and you're just rocking back and forth. There's nothing to see here. There's nothing to see here. There's no story. There's no story. Convince yourself.
Dominic. So are you going to interview me or are you going to argue with me?
Yeah, that's our Ron. Dom, I don't know if you're aware, but Ron Johnson had a big speaking part on Friday night. A voter integrity event led by Cleta Mitchell, right?
You kidding me?
I warned you guys. And here is what Ron reportedly said. Ron Johnson calls the attorney behind the Wisconsin Republican elector scheme a victim. A victim, I tell you, of the radical left.
Is that Eastman's the victim? Eastman?
No, Cleta Mitchell in this case.
Cleta. All right.
An attorney involved in the effort to pass then Vice President Mike Pence documents falsely stating Donald Trump. Oh, maybe he's talking about Jim Troupas is the victim.
There's so many.
A document falsely stating Donald Trump won Wisconsin in 2020 is a victim of the radical left who needs to be supported. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson said Friday in the newly revealed audio. I told you, folks, he was the mainliner at the Cleta Mitchell event. Johnson's comment came as the U.S. House Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection continues to unpack. Unpack they did today. A wide-ranging scheme to overturn the 2020 presidential, which appears to involve former Dane County Circuit Court Judge Scotty Wanker appointee James Troupas, who Johnson defended on Friday. Well, why wouldn't he? Cleta Mitchell is a hero, Johnson said on Friday at the Wisconsin Statewide Election Integrity Summit, referring to an attorney who advised Trump during the failed attempt to stay in power. Cleta Mitchell, the Foley and Laudner partner, was on the call with Raffensperger when Trump just needed 11,780 votes. The fact that she still is a lawyer is only a matter of timing, I suspect. A little bit more. There are so many people. The latest victim is Jim Troupas. There are so many victims of the radical left that need to be supported. That's the words of Ron Johnson. You know, I kind of do it whiny like I suspect he did. The Oshkosh Republicans' comments came the same week. Text revealed Troupas, who represented Trump in his failed effort to overturn Wisconsin's 2020 results, tried to get Johnson to pass documents falsely stating Trump won Wisconsin to Pence on January 6th. So what, he's acting as a character witness for his co-conspirator?
Sounds like that guy's
really cool and
he's
nice.
He's great.
He's a victim. You know, they're going to prosecute him. And then he might turn on me a little bit more. The January 6th committee has revealed Trump was told repeatedly by his campaign advisors and the Justice Department officials that there was widespread fraud. Hell, when Bill Barr told him, he threw the hamburger at the wall and spilt the ketchup, right? Yet Trump continued to lie to his supporters. Meanwhile, his attorneys were orchestrating false slates of electors in key swing states, including Wisconsin, to give Pence the pretext to disrupt the counting of the electoral votes on January 6th. Pence refused to go along with the scheme. Thank you, Dan Quayle. Asked why and how Johnson considers Troupas a victim, Johnson spokesperson Alexa Henning said Monday, the corporate media and the radical left are engaging in the politics of personal destruction. And it's sick. It's sick, I tell you. Henning did not. Wait, there's a little bit more here, Dom. Henning, again, the Johnson spokesperson, did not directly answer two questions about whether Ron Johnson has been interviewed by the FBI or subpoenaed by any law enforcement entity. Troopers did not respond to the same questions Monday. Ron, have you been interviewed by the FBI regarding your involvement in a coup against the U.S. government? Yet? Come back, more Devil's Advocates. We can take your calls here, 844-967-2789. It's getting better all the time. Today, lots of unpacking done by the J6 committee.
You know, I was not involved in this at all.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Why don't you just leave me alone?
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open before our pal Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, is going to join us in the next hour. But you can hit us up right now, 844-967-2789.
You know,
why the cars? I'm just curious.
Who's going to drive you home, Donald Trump?
Yeah. Is either that or Jesus take the wheel, but I used that earlier.
I almost requested this tune today. I was thinking this is a good one. You know, under the circumstance, Dom, were you in the car the time back when I had the purple convertible and I'm driving down the road in Milwaukee and Bob slapped the snot out of me while I'm in the driver's seat and I almost had to turn around and get into a fist fight as I'm driving down the highway?
I do recall you were, you know, as a driver, Curdy, especially back then, you were easily flustered. And
yeah,
I think
when
Bobby
smacks me in the head. While I'm driving down the highway at highway speed,
it was pretty funny. We may have almost died that day, but yes, I do recall that. Yes, don't mess with the driver, man.
Yeah, never mess with the driver. But Donald Trump did, right? He tried to choke his driver for not taking him where he wanted to go. I mean, Bob crossed a few lines, God rest his soul, but, you know, he never tried to choke me out. One or two slaps, you know, sort of back of the head style.
And but, there are chokers. They choke. Yeah.
You know, you think about, you know, about as angry as someone can be. And I can tell you, if I'm driving down the highway at highway speed, probably speeding, and you smack me, I'm going to lose my, you know what? And I just might, you know, throw a cheeseburger at the wall or whatever I think's appropriate. Have you ever been so angry that you like took a plate and chucked it at the wall?
I don't think I've ever thrown a plate on the wall. No.
I got Mrs. Crudy so fired up one time she took a taco and threw it at me. Yeah. It didn't hurt much, you know.
No, I mean,
had to take there and take my taco beating.
That's totally unacceptable. Taco abuse is not allowed.
I know, nearly ended the marriage because I was hungry for that taco and she wasted it. I don't think I've ever broken a dish as such. I think I slammed the microwave once or twice, you know, out of anger frustration.
Like slam a door or a drawer or something along those lines. But no, I'm not a big like smash around the wall or kind of guy. It has not been my style.
Never punched a hole in the wall.
No, I'm too afraid of hitting one of those 2x4s and busting my hand. You know how hard is it to punch through drywall? Come on.
Well, first you got to tap and make sure you find the studs. And then you punch
the time
between
if you're
them,
angry,
right?
Man, defeats the purpose if you're raging. Wait, I'm raging. Let me make sure I don't hurt myself. I just calmed down. But I mean, so while I appreciate and certainly it is mockworthy of Donald Trump behaving like this, no question. I think we could go back in history and look at a lot of presidents that behaved in ways that perhaps were not entirely appropriate for the office.
Are we all talking about Marilyn Monroe now?
I'm just saying. Fine. That happens. But what did he say to the Sergis? You know what I mean? What about the $2 billion that his son-in-law got? I mean, there are so many huge, huge pressing problems versus the reinforcement of what we already know, that he is a big man baby. I mean, that's not new news.
Do you know what I did read overnight? And I'm not sure if it's actually newsworthy, but I saw it at thehill.com. Stoners get hurt and therefore marijuana is bad. Did you read that article? Longitudinal research that stoners, people that consume cannabis on a frequent basis, and didn't even say frequent, just consumers of cannabis, they end up in emergency rooms. And you're thinking, well, what's the relevance there? It's not primarily for respiratory stuff. It's not like they die of marijuana.
Smoked too much and got paranoid go to the emergency room?
More like they fall off of stuff or they hurt themselves. And there's like 20% more likely to end up in an emergency room than the broader population. So by causation and correlation, this particular article and study seems to indicate, you know, you smoke weed, you get clumsy, you end up in the ER, and therefore marijuana's bad. That was my understanding.
I mean,
I have hurt myself a couple times.
But yeah, you could compare that. I mean, if you're going to compare, you know, marijuana consumption and hospital visitations versus, you know, sobriety, sure. But now if you're really be real about it and say, well, what about, you know, nicotine? What about alcohol? What about, you know, other harder drugs?
They claim they'd made allowances for those things.
They made allowances, huh?
Yeah, they made allowances for other drug use, et cetera.
Well, you know, Bobby didn't die of weed overdose, man. Bobby died of opioid overdose. And so until you show me the stats and people dying of weed overdose, you can just take your studies and, you know, you worry about them yourselves.
Apparently, most of the deaths are caused by falling down the stairs when one wanders off to the kitchen at like 3 a.m. you know, for a little post-midnight snack.
Man, that taco's going to kill you, man. I should have left it.
I wanted the taco. I had to eat the taco up off the floor then, you know, because I was hungry, man. It's 3 a.m.
Did it taste like anger and resentment?
It tasted like burning. 844-967-2789. CJ, you often leave me tasting like burning. How you doing, man?
Hey, CJ.
Howdy, guys.
You watching the J6 hearing, CJ? Or listening on the radio?
I certainly did.
You got a problem with Trump choking a guy?
Whatever happened,
Secret Service guy?
I want accountability.
Let's throw Trump in jail and Ron Johnson as well. And Mark Meadows and Rudy.
I want accountability wherever it lands, and you guys don't. You're okay.
Okay.
I would like,
before you go too far afield, give us an example of
China.
A what? Who what?
So I want accountability wherever it lands, but Lou's right, as you guys talked over Lou. No one cares about 2024 right now. We're worried about 2022, and that's the problem.
Your entire party cares more about 2020.
What are you going to run on other than January 6th?
I think reproductive rights are on the ballot. I think Roe v. Wade's kind of a big deal, CJ. I think that. That's going to be on the ballot.
Yeah, good governance, CJ. CJ, if I may interject here, if you're concerned about accountability, sure, shouldn't accountability be on the ballot? And what have you seen the Republicans do other than those that testified? What have the elected Republicans who still support Trump, what have they done to hold what is obviously a man who needs to be held accountable? As you and I would both agree to, CJ, what's being done?
Well, the problem is that our country's going down the toilet while your party's in control, Dom. And so 2022 is coming up. Inflation is the number one issue. It's not Donald Trump anymore, but that's the only thing you guys have to run on. So what else are you going to run on?
Well, can you say a coup attempt, CJ? Say coup attempt. Don't just say, you know, say coup attempt with me. Say it, because it matters. Say it, coup attempt.
I said it. I hope accountability lands. And
say coup attempt, CJ. I want to hear you say it. Trump tried a coup. Say it with me. Trump tried a coup.
Hasn't been proven by Merrick Garland yet, Dom. So,
that'll be when Merrick Garland files some lawsuit. Then it'll be a subpoena. Oh,
but
then
it's Hillary's emails.
Come on, man.
Benghazi. More devils. We'll be back.
The crowd was positive and festive.
I stabbed a man in the heart.
I think the White House could have handled this better.
They take